You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Wednesday, the 29th of March, 2023. Later, merger and acquisition activity still on the minds of investors, but we'll start with consumer prices, where the monthly inflation indicator from the Bureau of Statistics rose by a less than expected 6.8% year-on-year in February. To break it down and what it means for interest rates, I spoke earlier with Catherine Birch. She's a senior economist at ANZ. Catherine, I understand the ANZ's still expecting a rate rise in April, but at 6.8% annual inflation, doesn't that at least increase the chances of a rate pause next week?
We do think there'll be another 25 basis point hike from the RBA at their April meeting next week. But the RBA can look at the CPI data today in two ways. One, it's a confirmation that we're past peak annual inflation. We've gone from an 8.4% annual inflation rate in December to a 6.8% inflation rate in February. On the other hand, though, if you looked at specifically what happened in February, we saw in seasonally adjusted terms a 0.6% rise in prices. Now, if you multiply that over the 12 months, we actually get over a 7% inflation still. That suggests that there's still a lot of momentum in inflation at the moment. And from our point of view, suggests that the RBA should be hiking again in April.
Still, low-income households are doing it quite tough, aren't they? Because food prices are up. Bread and milk, for example, are still high. Electricity prices have actually risen on a year-on-year basis. And rents haven't come down especially. So just how are they being hit?
A lot of these essential goods and services, inflation is still very high and in some cases continuing to rise. So food price inflation is still very high. We're seeing rents continue to accelerate and there's very low rental vacancy rates at the moment, which is adding to that issue. And then we know that electricity prices have gone up more than 17% over the past year, and we're going to see significant increases come July this year as well. So that paints quite a challenging picture for a lot of low to middle income households.
This data is just an inflation indicator and doesn't consider the whole basket of goods, right? So when we get the full quarterly number, do you expect any differences?
We're expecting that the Q1 CPI, which will be published late in April, will show that annual inflation is falling. It will also confirm that we are past the peak in annual inflation. But we think it's still going to show very high inflation, far too high. And we think that in order to bring inflation back down to that 2-3% target that the RBA has, we'll actually need to see higher rates and held at those higher rates for a longer period.
Finally, we know the RBA said it was looking at four key data points in the month of March, which includes, finally, this CPI indicator. Add the banking concerns we've seen around the world as well, which came left of field. What does this mean then for monetary policy, including that of April?
The RBA was looking at four different data sets in the lead up to their April meeting. The monthly CPI data, which shows annual inflation coming down, but seasonally has been quite strong. Secondly, looking at the NAB business survey data, which again showed business conditions are still quite strong and cost and price growth still elevated. Thirdly, they're looking at the labour market data, which was again saw a bounce in employment and unemployment fall back to 3.5%. And also the retail sales data, which came in at 0.2% for February, which is a bit softer than we expected, but still not a clear sign of decline. Put all those together and we think that the data is still quite resilient, showing resilience in the economy, which suggests that the RBA needs to go further with rate hikes. And we expect that the terminal rate will get to 4.1%. We have seen quite a few issues in the banking sector overseas over the past few weeks. But despite that, we've seen central banks continue to hike and express their confidence in banking systems around the world. We saw hikes from the ECB, we saw hikes from the Fed, the Swiss National Bank, the Bank of England as well. And all these central banks and the regulators as well have been expressing confidence in the banking system. And I think particularly in Australia, given how strong our regulatory environment is, we do have a very resilient banking system here.
Catherine Birch there, senior economist at ANZ. Now to the market reaction, which rose, the ASX 200 up 0.2%, 7,050 gaining momentum after that CPI data drop. For more, I spoke earlier with Niv Dagan. He is the founder of Peak Asset Manager. Niv, has today's inflation report changed the way the market is now pricing in the chances of a rate pause at the next RBA meeting next week? Because we saw a clear turn in both the share market and currency markets after the data was released.
Yeah, Ricardo, we had inflation figures come out lower than expected at 6.8%. The market is now factoring in basically a 40% chance of an interest rates rise in April. We feel that interest rates will be paused going into and even be cut towards the November rate cut in November.
A lot of focus on the global banking system. Authorities say that this isn't another GFC, but are you worried?
Not worried. For the first time, we are seeing central banks coordinating essentially effort in terms of providing liquidity to banks to basically stabilize banks across the world. So we don't feel that this is another GFC. And we saw that with UBS and Credit Suisse just more recently, where the central bank over there provided liquidity in such a short amount of time. So we see any weakness as a buying opportunity.
A lot of M&A activity at the moment, mostly in the lithium sector. That player Liontown Resources turned down a $5.5 billion takeover bid, sending its shares soaring yesterday. I think there's some movements coming through today too. What's your take on the space?
Look, there's a lot of short selling in the lithium space. That's saying essentially the deficit isn't confounded. So we are seeing across the board some M&A, especially cashed up private equity, large conglomerates. US dollar essentially is strong relative to the Aussie dollar. We do expect further consolidation in the space. So the fact that Liontown received that $5.5 billion bid is very, very positive. We saw some of the lithium names, CXO, PMET, Aracobra across the board up in the vicinity of 15 or 25% in yesterday's trading session. Look, all that bodes very, very strongly into the second half of the year.
And finally, in this environment, where do you see the opportunities?
Look, we still like commodities, Ricardo. I mean, copper, there's a huge demand supply imbalance. They're talking that inventories will be basically at a deficit towards the end of the year. So copper remains a really strong barometer. Lithium, with what we're seeing, we're expecting some more M&A. And also technology. I mean, some of the technology names that are still moving towards cash flow positive, strong balance sheet, inside ownership could be really strong barometers leading into that second half, as we mentioned.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.